children. What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to MASC's weekly radio show on Family Matters. MASC, Mothers and Fathers Align, saving kids of all ages, all stages, mental health issues, including addictions. But tonight's show we're doing on self-care and Erev Yontzif stress. And we are so privileged to have with us tonight Rebbetzin Malki Spira, who is an LMHC. She is a parenting and marital therapist in Borough Park. And anyone that is going to want to get in touch with her, feel free to call MASC's confidential helpline at 718-758-0400 from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. for any referral that you may need. Well, I would like to welcome Rebbetzin Malki Spira. Thank you for coming on tonight. How are you?
Thank you so much, Rechama. Thank you for the kind words. And it's a pleasure to be here and joining whatever resources and skills and knowledge that I have to help the people that you educate and service and direct in so many different ways. As I listen to you doing your introduction, I want to whip out a pen and write that number down myself, because we all know people who suffer and struggle in the way that MASC is particularly oriented and geared to help. So it's a pleasure for me to join you in providing this service for the Haimash Olam and for everyone who's dealing with the specific issues and stressors that families of large families with the number of children who have to deal with Yom Tovim and the specifics to our school systems are dealing with, are facing.
Well, thank you, and it's always wonderful having you on. So I'm used to calling you Malki. Is that all right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, so Malki, let's talk about what parents can do to keep the Erev Yontif season. You know, the Yontif season is so emotional, and we want to keep it very positive and pleasant as possible. So let's talk about, there's a few weeks, not even left, till Yontif. What message do you want to give my listeners, all the women out there listening? Men also have to be prepared. What message do you want to give them, please?
That's such an important question, and it needs to be addressed, because people very often tend to just arrive into Yontif without having given that forethought. So this is enough time for people to gather their thoughts and say, how can I plan in advance to make this Yontif season as successful as it can possibly be? And probably that's the key factor, pre-planning, because our lives tend to be more frenzied and harried than ever before in history. Fathers are working, mothers are working, we're multitasking, we have so many different obligations that if we don't plan in advance, we probably won't take care of what's most important for Yontif. And the other thing is, we'll probably be running around the last minute, and that kind of frenzied, stressed entry to Yontif does not develop a context for the type of Yontif that we really are looking forward to with our children. Because it's really such a magical time. When people look back years later, what they remember is the Shabbosim, they remember the Yom Tovim, they remember the Simchas. When we tune into Yontif season, we have to realize we are making memories, and we are establishing a grounding place for our children, for their identities, for their connections, for who they are and who they're going to grow to be. So it might seem like they're just practical, pragmatic skills. Okay, let's have a list. Did you buy everything you need to? Can you buy your paper goods? Can you cook and freeze in advance? Can you get things to the cleaner early so we're not running at the last minute? Polish the shoe the week before. Sew on the buttons. But all these little things, if they're not attended to, and then they cause that kind of stress in the last minute, the children start connecting yontif to stress. And that's something that we want to avoid at all costs. We want to connect to the children yontif and family and kedusha, kind of all coming together, separate from our regular life. This is our special time. This is what it looks like. So the pre-planning gives us the ability to bring in that kind of environment, that kind of setting where our children will actually be open to hear the message that we want to give them rather than so frustrated from being bossed and bullied and running, or we're frazzled and we're fragmented and we're running and that we're busy with company and they're busy with friends. It's really hard to make it that connecting time. So it's very much dependent on our ability to plan in advance and do everything that we possibly can. And then, when it comes close to yontif, to really pay attention to everything that's still on the list and to let go anything that's not essential, because of what's most important to us is engendering that atmosphere of positivity, attunement, and connection. Then we will look at everything else through that lens and say, is this three-colored kugel that I got a recipe from a magazine and I think it will be really nice on the plate, is this important enough to make the tension that it will cost? And perhaps I want to make honey cupcakes with the children where they're going to identify to honey and Rosh Hashanah. Or perhaps we're better off just buying cupcakes that they'll like and let the children each choose one that they like best. And now we're connecting them to yontif with something that they like. So really considering each thing that we put on our to-do list, whether it's going to move us towards that sense of having a nice, warm, safe, attuned, connected yontif, planning in advance and letting anything go that's not going to bring us forward towards this most important goal. What do you think about that, Rechama?
Absolutely. It's interesting you brought up about, you know, making cupcakes or whatever. My colleagues and I, we just had a conversation the other day about the stress of Instagram putting on people and how everybody's saying their recipes and their, you know, like you said, the three-color kugel, and there's such pressure. And somebody gave a hack, a kitchen hack, great kitchen hack happens to be. It's not mental health, really, but I'm going to say it because it's the idea. You know, something like frying onions, somebody said, if you put up your crock pot with a little oil and a whole full crock pot of onions and you plug it in, you know, for a couple of hours, then you don't have to stand on the holiday, on yontif, busy frying onions for a new recipe, and you do it beforehand and you freeze it. Well, I tried it last night, and I did it, and let me tell you, what a pleasure, because now I know I could, like, cross one thing off my list to do on the yontif that I may need that ingredient. And these are the kind of things that you're saying about planning before. So there's planning before, like, you know, we all need, whether it's the cleaners or the shoemaker or the, like you said, buttons or picking up paper goods. We all know we need drinks for the holiday. These are things we can do far in advance. We could start to do those lists ahead. But then there's some touchy-feely things that are more emotional that I'd like to bring up with you, Malky, please. And that is so many parents calling the helpline on our WhatsApp chat, bringing it up, parents in groups bringing it up, and that's, what if parents have older children or younger adults or even elementary age kids, that it's just too hard to go to those long davenings in shul. Some adults, some young adults, they don't even want to go to shul. Their kids at risk. They've been pained by the system. There are kids that are out of school, not because they want it to be, some by choice. There are so many different reasons that there are children today, even adults, that don't want to be in shul all day. It's too many hours, whether they're diagnosed with ADD, ADHD, or whether they're traumatized from other things going on in their lives. And parents are scared. What are we going to do? Our kids don't want to go to shul. Our kids are going to be home so many days, but so many weeks from, you know, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, all week Sukkot. What advice can you give our families to keep our atmosphere positive, please?
Yes, Ruchama, this is such an important topic, and in the group that I run or the parents that I'm talking to before Yontif, this topic comes up very often as well. And it's heartbreaking, but it is our reality. We're raising our children differently than the world around us, and it's not typical. Contemporary children want to have fun. When they're not in school, that's downtime, that's fun time, that's enjoyable time. And our expectation, certainly when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, is very different than that. And for the children, it's hard. For the children, it's demanding. So I'm going to refer back to what we were saying before when it comes to planning. And I'm going to say the most important thing to do is measure everything through the lens of, do we have a positive atmosphere? So if I ask the kids, are you going to shul when it's positive? Good. But if I'm starting to push them and it's becoming negative, then really what I'm going to do long-term is push them away. And I'm sad to say there's no short-term quick fix for this test of parenting in 2020. This is the environment that we're in. This is the test of parenting. And it's certainly not something to think of right before Yontif in a practical way, because if you want to, you'll have to think in advance to see how can I connect my children to this more formal type of connecting to Hashem. How can I make it meaningful? Because if it's not meaningful or relevant to them, it's going to fall on them as a very heavy obligation. What you might do is see, can you connect to some part of the davening? Maybe they like shacharis, they're used to, so see if they'll go to that and then go home. Or maybe you can review the musaf davenings where it talks about karbonis. Maybe there's a share you have to. There's a DVD that shows what it looked like inside the Beis HaMikdash from Rabbi Friedman. You might draw them into something like that. Some children went to a 3D show on the Beis HaMikdash over the summer or in bungalow colonies, and you might talk to them about that this tefillah is about the karbanos that were brought in the Beis HaMikdash. What does it mean to them? If it doesn't mean much to them, don't expect it to be very relevant. Maybe you can spend some time preparing them for the tefillah. If not, then understand. It's a lot of words. It doesn't mean much to them. Maybe you can sit down with them and have them do a journal article where they're writing their letter to Hashem. What would they like to say? That may be more important to them than the formal tefillah in shul, but it also may transform into a desire to go and share that with Hashem on this first day of the year. So you know your child. You know someone who might need a little bit of a push, someone who might need a bit of preparation, and some children for whom all you want to do is say, Tati and Mami, Yontif, and Hashem, we're all good together. And any pressure is just going to undermine that connection. So you have to use your best judgment to see whether a little bit of a push might help or just a loving embrace is going to help. But whatever you do, only take steps that you feel the child can accept in a warm way, that they feel is compassionate and caring, that's attuned to their need. Because if they will feel from you that shul is an obligation, they will fight you, and they will grow to hate and resent it for a lifetime.
So let's talk about the real teens at risk, the ones that are off the derech, the ones that are drugging, the ones that we all know as parents are not interested in any of the things that you said now. Let's talk about the disappointment that a parent needs to deal with prior to Yontif coming, so that because they know those children are not interested, like you said, some do get turned off for life. So what do we want to say to those parents that are crying on their pillow knowing that their kids are not interested in any of the above?
Well, the first thing is give yourself a surge of compassion. Hashem has given you a deep test. You have the opportunity to connect to Hashem through your tefillah. But I can only reiterate what I've said up until this point. Keep the atmosphere positive. Keep the love and connection open. Make their favorite foods. Buy their favorite cakes or desserts. Make the place a comfortable place for them. We don't know what might just happen over time. But one thing that's really critically important here is Yontif is going to come and you're going to feel so disappointed. Don't let it take you by surprise. Don't let it slam you from the side when you think it's Rosh Hashanah, it's Yom HaDin, we need so much, and this kid is just lying in his room smoking on his smartphone. Prepare for the disappointment. Take some time to talk to yourself, to talk to Hashem. Whatever it is that you do to compassionately take care of you and support you and strengthen you so that you get anchored in a menuchas hanefesh that's aware of the fact that you're going to be sorely disappointed, but because you're connected to yourself and you're connected to Hashem, you're going to try to keep yourself as grounded as possible and keep that positivity going.
So, Malki, I just want to remind everyone that we are mothers and fathers aligned, saving kids, and we need to do this together. Moms and dads need to do this awareness when struggling with a family member, with whatever issues they may be struggling with, mental health, addiction, or other. And before Yontif, it's not about only one self-care. I think it's important that we note that couples, mothers and fathers, whether married, divorced, or otherwise, should have a discussion and plan, like you said, about the child that may be home and not going to shul, and the disappointment, but yet, you know, talking about what we're going to do, how we're going to handle it, will we stay home with them, one parent, you know, and tell the child before so they're not anxious, you know, and wait till the morning of the holiday to say, you know, Yontif morning, oh, I'll stay home with you, but maybe say it several days before, a week before even, so that this way they don't have that anxiety of, oh, my father's going to want me to go to shul, he's going to wake me 17 times, my mother's going to be nagging me, you know. So it's important to start this now, discussing it and planning it, and then, like you said, accepting it and dealing with it, so that even the kids don't need to have the anxiety and wait until Erev Yontif to be told, right?
Right. Yes, that's a very important point, because the more they feel accepted and they don't feel anxiety rising and they feel that it's a pleasant environment, the better and more pleasant the Yontif will be for everybody involved.
So one more thing. Let's talk about the younger kids quickly. What can we do for the younger kids? Maybe they're ADD. Maybe they're not interested. Maybe it's a single parent home and they have a broken heart that they're not with both their parents and they can't, you know, focus so long all day in shul. What ideas do you have for the parent that, you know, may be bringing their kids to shul, but they become antsy in shul?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And again, if you're prepared, you can make it work, and then you have your time to daven and let the children be entertained as well. And that's key. You want entertainment. You want to prepare packages for shul. You know your child. I remember going to O'Nuts and buying a little bit of a lot of different kind of candies. So every 15 minutes, my kids knew they could come to me and they got the candy for them. And whatever it is that you know is exciting for your children, get those mashas that you usually don't get. Have a little book. Have a little activity to make. You have licorice with the colorful Cheerios that they can make and wear and eat. Think what you can do to have a package that can really keep them busy for as long as you're going to be there. Don't expect them to do it on their own. Don't expect them to be quiet and let you daven. Your davening doesn't mean anything to them. They don't understand the significance of it. But if you prepare to keep them actively occupied and entertained, then they will likely be able to give you the space to be able to daven for them for a good year. And you might also arrange for play dates. Maybe you make up with someone. How about you take my kids today, I'll take your kids tomorrow, or Yontif afternoon. Oftentimes we get busy with hosting and cleaning and getting to shul, and we forget there are little people here. They're on a totally different kind of time frame. Their teachers in school work on their schedule. All of a sudden they're home with us and we're on a different schedule. If you want the Yontif to work for them and ultimately to work with you, you need to set yourself to their schedule and to their pace to make this effective.
You know, I'm wondering, we talk about self-care a lot and how important it is, and I know you do mindfulness, you know, is there a way that you can do like a quick 3-4 minute mindfulness with us right now on the air that people can then, you know, take a break on their own and have it? Can we do it now maybe, please?
Sure, we could, because that's the self-care that you can, probably the best thing. I can model a 3-minute mindfulness routine that you can turn to anytime. If you think that you're just a little overwhelmed, you could do that. And
are you setting your timer? I hear your timer in the background.
Yes, right. So we'll do our 3 minutes, sure. And I want you to kind of just settle yourself comfortably into a chair and allow your eyes to close or keep them open with a softened gaze. And just take a few gentle, long, slow breaths. Nothing forced, just gentle, breathing fully inhaling and exhaling. And you're breathing through your nose, out through your mouth, in through your nose, out through your mouth. And you're going to allow your breath to find its own natural rhythm. There's nothing forced here. And just bring your full attention to noticing each breath, really paying attention to as it enters your nostril and it travels down your lungs and your belly is stretching out, and then as your belly contracts and the air moves up through the lungs and back through your nostrils or your mouth, focusing your full attention on the breath. And just pay attention to how the inhale is different than the exhale. You may feel the air a little bit cooler as you breathe it in through your nose, and a little bit warmer as you breathe out. And then turn your focus a little bit deeper and let go of the noises around you. If there are any distracting sounds in the room, simply notice them and bring your attention back to your breath. And simply breathe as you breathe, not trying to change anything. Just breathing and focusing. Don't try to control your breath in any way. Just observe and accept your experience in the moment without judgment, paying attention to each inhale and exhale. And if your mind wanders to thoughts, plans, problems, just notice that your mind is wandering and watch the thought as it enters your awareness as neutrally as possible, and then practice letting it go, just letting go of the thought as if it were a leaf floating down a stream. in your mind, place each thought that arises on a leaf and watch as it floats out of sight just down the stream, and bring your attention right back to your breath. Your breath is an anchor you can return to over and over again when you become distracted by thoughts. Notice when your mind wanders, and pay attention to the type of thoughts that hook you, that distract you from your focus on your breathing. Noticing is the richest part of learning. As you learn about yourself, you can strengthen your ability to disconnect and detach from thoughts and just mindfully keep your focus on the quality of your breath as you breathe in and out. Practice returning to the breath with your full attention, watching the gentle rise of your stomach on the in-breath and the relaxing, the letting go on the out-breath. Allow yourself to be completely with your breath as it flows in and out. You might become distracted by pain or discomfort in your body, or just a feeling of itchiness or twitchy that draws your attention away from your breath. And you may also notice some feelings coming up: sadness, happiness, frustration, contentment, fear. Just acknowledge whatever comes up, including thoughts or stories about why you're having this feeling, and notice where your mind goes without judging it, without trying to push away or stop the thought, without wishing it were different, just refocusing your mind and guiding your attention back to your breath, to the inhale and exhale. Breathe in and breathe out. Follow the air all the way in and all the way out. And just be mindful and present moment by moment with your breath. If your mind wanders away from your breath, just notice without judging it. Be it a thought, a feeling, a physical sensation, whatever it might be that's hooking your attention, just gently guide your awareness and focus back to your breathing. And as this practice comes to an end, slowly allow your attention to expand and notice your entire body and then beyond your body to the room that you're in. And when you're ready, open your eyes and come back fully alert and awake. The breath is always with you as a refocusing tool to bring you back to the present moment. In this moment, set your intention to use this practice throughout your day to help you develop and strengthen your ability to focus inward and find calm.
Wow. Thank you, Malky. Very, very calming. And I sure hope that we can use this routine before Yontif. I always love having you on. We're running out of time. I want to thank you again for being on. And let's hope that all of us take time for that self-care and mindfulness. Thank you, Malky.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure, and I'm always privileged to be part of your great work and happy to join with you in any way that I can.
Thank you. Thank you. And I want to wish everybody a very calm evening and a beautiful Shabbos. And let's always remember, hang in, hold on, and hug tight. Our number is 718-758-0400. Thank you, and have a good night.
TCN, Talk Line Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.